All right, you're listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR 855 AM. And we're very happy to be joined today by Mitch Vanderwerth-Holman, who is the Assistant Secretary Candidate for the Voice for Members. So a Voice for Members is a rank and file ticket that that is contesting the upcoming elections for the CPSU Victoria, which is the Community Sector and Public Sector Workers Union. So good morning, Mitch.
Good morning,
Mitch.
Good morning, how are you?
Yeah, we're all good here. So, Mitch, I guess I kind of want to start off because elections are actually going to be beginning next week. What can you tell us about the Voice for Members in Victoria ticket? And you know, what is the kind of politics that you're trying to present in terms of the union?
All right. So, there's two questions in there. The first is, how did a Voice for Members come to be? And the second is, what are our values and what are our politics? And I'll answer them both in order. So to cover the first one, a Voice for Members is a group that came together out of three broadly shared negative experiences. The first was to do with our experience of the union as an organisation. Very many members did not know who their delegate was, who their organizer was, who their representative on the union's committee of management was. When they had tried to get in touch with the union to get something like a membership list, they had either been ignored, fobbed off, or did not know who to contact at all. There was this common experience that the union was not very organized. The second was with regard to the VPS EBA for 2024 to 2028. The common experience of members with that was that there was really no engagement with the membership on what we wanted in that EBA. There were some preliminary surveys for the log of claims, but there was no vote on the log of claims. There was no sophisticated attempt to understand what our priorities were in bargaining with government. And after a six-month negotiation period, it appeared to us that the government's initial offer was the one that the union accepted with very few changes. The third negative experience had to do with some campaigning that was taking place in late 2023 and 2024 with regards to Palestine. A number of union members active on that issue had tried to get in touch with the union's committee of management and had tried to get some emails from the union office. When they were unsuccessful, they used the government address book to get those emails and reached out to them directly. And when they did so, they were told by the union office that this was a breach of privacy. And in some cases, the union office reported to those people's employers that they had done this and claimed that this was a violation of the VPS code of conduct.
My God.
So, there had been a wholly negative experience by a large range of members across these three fronts when it came to our union. Now, to answer the second question in there about the politics of a Voice for Members, we are a reform ticket and we're very proud of that fact. We think it is time for change. The current Secretary of the Union, Karen Batt, has been in that position for 32 years. That is, we've been joking, longer than both Hosni Mubarak of Egypt and Robert Mugabe of Zimbabwe. And quite frankly, it's too long for any person to be in a leadership position like that. So we are a reform ticket. We are proudly a democratic ticket. All of the members of our group, as it has come together and as it expanded, have had an opportunity to be involved, to have input into our policy platform, which was determined over the course of a six-hour debate on Easter Monday. All of our candidates went through a pre-selection process that was open and transparent and in which anyone could nominate. I think that just about covers it.
Okay, so it's Mary here, Mitch. Good morning.
Hi, Mary.
Hi. Has there been a backlash from the leadership to the fact that this group is challenging them?
There sure has. When the government announced the Silver Review, we called a rally for the following week. It was going to be on Tuesday night outside of Parliament, Victorian Parliament, while Parliament was sitting. As soon as we did that, within hours, the union called its own rally, which was outside One Treasury Place for the Monday before our rally. Now, Treasury Place is where Cabinet meets. A voice for members promoted that rally. We tried to get as many union members to turn out to it as possible because, for better or worse, we are all part of the one union.
Mm-hmm.
And when we went, people who have been active in A Voice for Members and would be recognisable on our social media, they were actively scorned by officials of the CPSU and even officials of other unions. There were glares cast, people had their backs turned on. In some cases, people were approached, and without their permission, their lanyards were grabbed to look at their name, or photos were taken of them.
Hmm.
And that really was just the tip of the iceberg. Over the course of this campaign, we've seen some exceptionally dirty tactics from the incumbent leadership of the union. In one instance, an email was sent from an anonymous Gmail account, which had the amusing title, Ice Axe for Leon. That email was sent to all union officers in the corrections system. And it was an email that contained a series of slurs against both the campaign and our candidate for secretary, Giselle Hannah. And through some sophisticated internet sleuthing, we were able to figure out that that anonymous Gmail account belonged to a current employee of the union who has been a member of Tan Bat's old guard for many, many years.
Yeah.
Intimidation. Sorry, Jacob. Intimidation and lies, basically. Recently, there's been an announcement that there's going to be cuts to the public service. What is the Voice's position regarding these proposed cuts?
Oh, thank you. That's a brilliant question, Mary. Our position on these proposed cuts is that they're totally unnecessary. It's misguided austerity, and to make a strong argument against them, Voice of Members was very pleased to produce what we're playfully calling the Gold Review. Gold Review offers $13 billion in savings. That's four times what the government has found so far as part of the Silver Review. And it doesn't require a single VPS job cut. This is a sample of the kind of work that a Voice of Members hopes to do if we are elected. We're a sophisticated, slick, modern outfit, and we recognise that a modern public sector union needs to be active in the streets, part of traditional industrial activism, but also active in the spreadsheets as part of new, innovative public sector activism.
Great.
Yeah. So the kind of next question I wanted to kind of ask, actually, I just want to make one kind of brief comment as well about the kind of repression from the established trade union sort of leadership and incumbents, is that, I mean, I've also kind of heard there's like they've basically also tried to sort of contact particular sections of the membership, you know, basically trying to, you know, criticize you know, some of your members' association with particular left-wing kind of figures. And I think, you know, I think that it's quite outrageous in a lot of ways. And also I think one of the things I'll have to say is, I mean, just looking at the ticket from afar, it is a very impressive put together rank and file ticket. Like, the fact that you have so many candidates indicates that majority of the positions indicates that there's actually quite a high level of support. But also, I think, you know, the fact that the leadership has been unchallenged for 35 years actually probably means that I think Voice for Members stands with a very good chance of actually winning quite a lot of positions. So, yeah, I guess I want to kind of hear, you know, what are your comments on some of the lessons that this campaign has kind of brought for unionism, especially when you think about, put it in the broader context of, you know, the decline of union politics? Because I guess the issues that that the CPSU face are not unique to the CPSU. In fact, there's a lot of, as someone who's a member of the United Workers Union, you know, there's lots of challenges that unions have in terms of the lack of transparency, you know, lack of democratic participation from members.
Thanks, Jacob. I want to respond to the first thing you spoke about first, and then I'll get to lessons for future rank and file campaigns. you are right. The incumbent leadership have words, a voice for members, as some kind of Trotskyite outfit. That is absolutely untrue. Our members and our candidates come from pretty much across the entire political spectrum. We are a broad-based movement, and we are focusing on the bread-and-butter issues of unionism that unite us rather than divide us. Karen Batt is a member of the Labor Party. Karen Batt's partner, Julian Keneally, who is employed as the union's communications director, is a member of the Labor Party. There are at least 12 staff members of the CPFU currently that are members of the Labor Party. Karen Batt claims to be unaligned. That does not wash. And Karen has never been honest with members about this fact. So to respond to your second question about lessons for rank and file organising, I would say there are probably three that I would pick out. The first is that if you're going to do it, you have to have a broad-based appeal. We, a voice of members, we came together because of this common negative experience about the servicing and organising done by our union. That has a very, very broad-based appeal. The policy platform that we've developed speaks to those issues and what we do if elected to change them. That is quite a broad-based appeal. It is our view that mobilising on particular political issues in a union election campaign, particularly if that political issue is not a local one, is not a winning formula. Second lesson, I would say, is that you need to have an organised campaign executive or campaign steering committee or whatever other name that you would like to give it. There needs to be clearly defined functions within that campaign executive. So you need a person who's good at communications to handle your social media and your email. You need a person who's good at campaign fieldwork and organising to develop rosters, to develop maps. If you're going to do local work like leafletting outside buildings or door knocking home, someone good at spreadsheets is always a winner. If you're going to be contesting, for example, leadership positions like we are, secretary and assistant secretary, those positions should be reflected on your campaign executive or steering committee as the leader. You will probably need someone who is good with data. I just mentioned that as well, someone good with spreadsheets. So having a strong campaign steering committee or executive with clearly defined functions that meets on a regular basis. And the third one that I would add, I had it in my mind just a moment ago, but it has now escaped me. Oh, that's what it is. It was to do with communication. You need to have a slick, modern communication presence across social media. As much as it's something that it is a little vile, and personally, I'm not on social media, but it is something that most people do use, and it is something that will get you a lot of traction. It is also relatively cheap to advertise on social media, and it is relatively cheap to put together static tiles or videos that you can target on social media. So if you can find a graphic designer within your group, if you're a rank-and-file ticket, or if you have an extended friend or partner or family member who is a graphic designer, I would absolutely draw them into the campaign.
Okay, thanks, Mitch. So final question. There's a couple bits to it. When does the voting actually start? And if people want to get involved, how can they get involved? And any final comments that you might have?
So the AEC will send out ballots next Tuesday, the 10th of June. We anticipate those will reach people's mailboxes by Thursday, Friday, if not earlier the following week. If you would like to get in touch with the campaign, you can go to our website, which is www.avfm.au. And that has links to our social media. It also has our email address and the phone numbers of myself and Giselle, if you would like to get in touch directly, and we encourage you to do so if you want to get involved in the campaign deeper. And any final remarks, I would just say that win, lose or draw, which has been our slogan, we have already shifted the dial so far in terms of a reinvigorated public sector union. We're very proud of that effort, and we hope, regardless of the outcome of the election, to continue that work.
Excellent, and good on you. Sounds like you've been doing great union work.
Thank you very much, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, Mitch, and all the solidarity with your campaign, and yeah, hope you do really well.
Thanks very much, Jacob. Thanks for having me this morning.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. All right, so we're just speaking to Mitch from A Voice for Members, and which is the rank and file CPSU Victoria ticket that is currently challenging the incumbent leadership, which actually has been in power for unopposed for 35 years, which I think is sort of quite remarkable in a lot of ways, and it's sort of in some ways it's sort of
Well, there's other leaderships in the union movement that have been in power for a long, long time.
Yeah. And it's sort of like this whole thing about union bureaucracies where it's sort of like, yeah, it's almost like it becomes this sort of entrenched job that you're just expected to, yeah, that just gives a sort almost like in a sense it's, yeah, you basically become part of an entrenched kind of bureaucracy when that shouldn't be. You know, that shouldn't be what unions should be. They should be democratic institutions that are developing new leadership every year.